Secret Message Report. I'm John Kelly. Welcome back. And today I have Talon Cooey from Portland, Oregon. And Talon was at the ESETI 2010 Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference this summer and had some amazing experiences that he's going to share. Talon, thank you for joining me on the Secret Message Report.
Absolutely, John.
Talon,
thank you.
It's great to be with you. You know, you and I had some amazing times at the ESETI Ranch this summer, and I wanted to share with the listeners some of the things that you you experienced and your perspective on those events. Tell me more about how you got connected with the ESETI Ranch. What got you up there in the first place?
Well, would you like me to just tell you, I guess, the story version?
Sure, just tell it.
Compacted?
Just tell it as it is.
Well, throughout my life, I mean, just coincidentally, or not coincidentally, synchronized way, I guess, you know, I've been spoken to what I feel is the source of love, you know, God and all that, and he told me, you know, just things that were very heavy on my shoulders, and telling him that I was very scared, and I have no idea what the heck he's talking about. It was referring to with me being a spiritual warrior. I'm not better at hiring anybody, but it's what I'm here to do, and I'm here to lead, and I got a lot of souls on my shoulders, in a sense. So, anyway, so long story short, over time, I've been spoken to a couple times, and ended up moving out on my own when I was 19 with $20 in my pocket, two Rottweilers, and an inch pincher, and then going through my life, you know, seeking truth and just seeking, I guess, my goals when it comes to music and my passion on that area, but also at the same time, you know, struggling to take care of my dogs and all of that other stuff, and, you know, just going through trials sometimes, but knowing that there's a whole lot more, which it just kept me going, and no matter what. So long story short. Now, when it comes to the ESETI Ranch recently, it's been very hard for me to cry lately or whatnot, but a couple months ago, I just, you know, I've been led up, I feel, to, like, just ended up doing a couple, like, research. I ended up watching the Disclosure Project and all that other stuff, and just knew it as much as I always did because of what I've seen when it comes to UFOs throughout my childhood and everything like that, that there's a whole lot more. And I figured out that there absolutely is, you know. And actually not more or less figured out. I'll have to say activated. I think we all know. But in the back of our minds. But anyway, so I ended up just crying one day because my body has been going through a lot of physical ailments. Doctors haven't been able to diagnose it. And at the same time, I was just struggling to take care of myself, and, you know, it was holding me back from playing my shows four or five times a week and all that. And so I ended up just crying, and I broke down in a sense, and I was yelling at these entities, the extraterrestrial entities, and I said, I know you guys are here, and I know you want to contact us. And I was like, and I know you know what love is because I know what love is. And I was like, and I'm fucking tired of this. I was like, I'm tired of me being held back from giving out love to my community and doing nothing but goodness for the world like I want to. They're like, because that is my pure joy, is to make people feel alive. And I was also saying, I'm tired of every child and woman and whatever, just everybody else being held back from receiving your love, you know, to center life energy of the universe. And so anyway, I yelled it out, and I was like, I need some help. You guys can help me out. And so didn't happen any way that I expected, of course, but 2 days later, I go out to the Oregon coast and go to my friend's barbecue and see this big glowing red ball out in the ocean, out in Seaside, Oregon, and all my friends saw it too. Long story short, we watched that for like an hour, shooting 1,000 feet that way, 1,000 feet this way, just going underwater, above water, and just crazy stuff. I was tearing up anyway, and something we've never seen before. And coincidentally, you know, just I thought it was funny because on the Disclosure Project, I watched previous months back. This guy's story is the same glowing red ball come out of the ocean, shoot up into the sky up in Alaska, and I actually just found out a couple of weeks ago that Columbus even saw a glowing red ball before he 2 days before he arrived in America. But anyway, so that glowing red ball happened, and the next day, me and my friends got in a pretty nasty car wreck on Highway 101 And we just came to a full stop. It was going to take the left. He was driving legitimately, and I had this really weird feeling. Look behind me, the guy comes to hit us at 50 miles an hour. So the next day, get back into town, ended up losing my job. Just got a job just serving and managing at a German restaurant that I was stoked about. Ended up losing a job due to the car wreck. And I was just asking myself and, you know, just looked up and I was like, okay, you know, what's going on? Like, I'm being open here. You know, I'm not going to freak out over this whole thing. Just what's going on? You know, like, lead me here. And then so I ended up getting a phone call a couple days later from Progressive Auto Insurance saying that they want to take care of my medical bills and compensate for my work loss. And so I'm like, okay, right on. So now I can actually focus on my healing, focus on my spirituality, focus on perceiving more of the truth, and also focus on my community. This is a blessing. And I was just like, thank you, God. Thank you, entities. That's who gave it or whatnot. So then soon after that, I just kept leading, especially since I had a lot of time on my hands, and this is right after the car wreck, sitting at home trying to get better and all that, was on the internet just doing my research and doing my thing and just getting, I feel, through that, more spiritually cautious every single day, and I was just loving life because of what I was becoming more aware of about myself and everything else, you know, and like I said, but even though it was already things that I already knew, it's just good to see that truth from other people. So anyway, then I went to my acupuncturist appointment and was talking, just chit-chatting about her, and then she mentions Mount Adams to me. And I was like, what is Mount Adams? She's like, well, I heard it's this energy vortex or these UFOs coming in and out. And then I got a spiritual, just like smack into the heart, telling me, like, I immediately just like interrupted her. I was like, I gotta go. And she was like, whoa, okay, well, let me write down the information for you. And then I call, we got to go camping over this place, like, as soon as possible. We have to go. And he's like, right on. So I look, but I'm looking more into it, and I look up on the website, and then I see the Science Spiritual Transformation Conference. I didn't even look at the speakers or nothing like that. I didn't even look at what it was about. I just, my eyes looked at it, and the same amount of impelment, I guess, if that's the right word to say it.
Compelled. You felt, you know, compelled.
I felt completely compelled to 100%, so strongly to, I looked at the sign, I was like, I gotta be there. So I was waiting for my check to come, and then I ended up calling up Pamela because it was sold out, and I told Pamela, I was like,
Pamela Headwood.
I gotta understand.
Pam Headwood, the coordinator.
Yeah. And I called her up, and I was like, Pamela, you don't know me, my name is Talon, but I'm being called to this conference, and you got to trust me on that, please. And she was like, okay, I'm going to do what I can for you. You're number 7 on the list, and number 7 is my number. So I knew. And then so I got into the conference. Now, this is a couple weeks before the conference. In the meantime, I was organizing a barbecue at my house. It was a life energy, the community barbecue, and all that other stuff that people walk out in bliss. Anyway, but throughout the time, I was just having these weird dreams and these visions and these, just more than anything, feelings in my bones that I was going to talk to these extraterrestrials personally. Mm-hmm. And I was imagining it to happen in a different way than it did, but it definitely happened. And a lot of my friends were like, yeah, okay, well, let me know how that goes there, buddy. But some of my friends were supportive. They were like, you know, because they just know me and they know I'm not crazy and, you know, they just trust everything in me, I guess, and I don't know. But what I was saying is that, you know, if it doesn't happen, it's not going to let me down. I just have this really weird feeling it's going to happen.
That's cool. Now, Talon, just to recap some of the things you said. So when you were young, as a boy, you were saying you had a sense about extraterrestrials or UFOs, or did you actually have experiences with extraterrestrials or UFOs as a boy?
From what I remember fully, I do remember just seeing satellites, like with my family and stuff like that, and they would stop and turn directly to the left, you know, so just come to realize those weren't satellites. I really can't, like, I don't specifically remember being taken up and talked to or nothing like that.
All right, in other words,
16, 17, though, that was a really legitimate UFO sighting, like,
okay,
close up, witnesses and stuff like that.
So it felt
like it was following me, to be honest with you, the second time, because when me and my friend were driving, and I saw it up in the sky, and I was like, hey, man, stop the car, and it stopped with us, and I was telling him, I saw that last year, man, exactly a year later. It was around the same time, it was the same hour, but it was exactly up to the same day a year later, and I was telling him, and he was kind of freaking out, and I was like, hey, man, take me home, and then when he did, it was following me home. And then it just stayed over close to my house. When I ran inside and I grabbed my family members, my dad didn't come out, but my older brother and sister-in-law came out and stuff like that. And it just sat there and it was over really close to my house. And then it dropped. My older brother and sister-in-law ran inside to grab the camera. And my older brother just got back home from invading Iraq, you know, so he's seen everything in the sky. And it was enough for him to go grab a camera. But anyway, it dropped something. It was a line, and it was the same color as a ship, and it was fizzing in and out like those hologram things on the Star Wars movie, I guess, where those guys are talking to you, you know, and they're fizzing in and out. Anyway, but and then it just left, but it wasn't flying over like a satellite or a plane or even a meteor shooting star. It just went out, you know.
All right. So what I'm hearing you say, Talon, what I'm hearing you say is that as a boy, the UFO-type phenomena were on the periphery of your awareness. There was something going on, but it wasn't until about 7 years ago when you had a really direct experience with it that was sort of, you know, really challenged you to try to understand what that might be. It was about 7 years ago?
Right.
All right.
Right, yes. And what I want to say, though, too, is, like, I won't pinpoint actually that a lot of the things that I saw and felt when I was a kid was extraterrestrial, but I did see tons of spirit movement, hear tons of voices, I'm sorry, I'm brain farting. I just had another thing that was in my head. And I was spoken to completely, and ever since before I can speak, and I always remember, and I've always had trouble with it, is that I felt that I just wasn't from here. And I couldn't explain it. I mean, not even when I was a teenager, I just couldn't explain it, you know.
All right. So what I'm hearing you say is that you were always sensitive to spiritual phenomena, and the UFO, UFO type contact was just a part of this broader, larger type of experience.
It was more like at the edge of the box, you know,
okay,
of the whole experience, I guess, you know, of my perspective. But it was definitely there. Now, I've always had it on my mind. I was always researching it. Ever since I was a little kid, I was very into, you know, astronomy books and stuff like that, you know, and just like, you know, all of that. So,
all right.
I always had a sense of feeling, even though I was brought up in a Christian family and stuff like that, pretty much. Not very religious, but, you know, that there's more. We weren't the only ones around, you know.
All right, that's clear. So let's get up. Now, you made it to the ranch. You got on the list. You got in.
Yes.
And you were there on the weekend. Tell me what happened at the ranch.
Okay, so what happened at the ranch, just besides, you know, you and I meeting and having our experience, now, to go along with this story, I gotta say one more thing, though. I get picked up by Tommy the day of the, you know, Thursday,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, we introduce ourselves, we get picked up, and I live right next to Highway 84. We hop on the Highway 84 when we head out of town, and driving like 20 minutes deep on 84. Now the 205 merge is right next to my house as well.
Yep.
Anyway, we get engaged in a deep, very, very good, spiritually productive conversation. What snapped us out of the conversation was these two bald eagles appeared out of nowhere right in front of the car,
mm-hmm.
on the highway, and just, we were like, what? You know, like, whoa, dude. Like, we thought we were about to, like, hit them. And they flew off to the left, and they were flying, and they were circling each other in, like, a DNA pattern. And they flew off to the left, and that's what snapped us out of the conversation. And I look around us, and I'm like, wait a second, man. How are we on I-5? I look around, and I'm like, oh, man, Tommy, I gave you the wrong directions, man. I'm really sorry. And then I look again, and we just passed by Kelso and Longview, which is an hour and a half deep into Washington from Portland. And we've only been driving for like 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes. And so I'm like, whoa, Tommy, I'm feel sorry, man. We could have been at the ranch by now. He's like, Talon, I thought you were giving the right directions. I was like, I thought I did too. I'm so sorry. So we turn around, and I'm really thinking about it, and I'm because I felt extremely uneasy, and I was just like, dude, Tommy, do you remember driving over the Columbia River at all? And he's like, no, I don't. I'm like, yeah, I don't understand how we're an hour and a half deep in Washington either, man. We were on 84. And he's like, we were both like, okay, let's just logically drive back and see how we feel. So we merge on 205, and we get over to the river, and we're both like, oh, my God, we did not drive over this river. Now, mind you, too, I've been on this whole highway area of 84, 205, and I-5 like hundreds of times. And I already knew, but I was still trying to be like, let's just logically, you know, whatever. Anyway.
So Talon.
Let
me ask you then. So you started when you and Tommy was one of the other guests at the ranch, and he was going to drive you up there. So you guys were heading east, I guess, towards Hood River.
On 84.
But when you recollected your senses, you found you were heading north on the I-5.
Yep, but an hour and a half deep into Washington.
As if you
had. We were at on 84 was at least 20 minutes. Towards Hood River, and at least 20, like, really, I live right next to the 205 merge from 84.
Yep.
So at least 20 minutes, you know, from the merge of 205.
So you feel as if you had lost time.
Yeah, and we drove back over the bridge. We got back on 84. We got 20 minutes back. It passed the merge, and we're like, yes, we do remember seeing this. We do remember seeing the construction, this and that.
Uh-huh.
And we're just like, wow, we don't know what just happened, but it starts the trip.
so tell me, you know? in your past experience, have you ever had a missing time experience before that you recall?
I have.
Oh, you have, really?
I don't recall them being that much of a time gap, though.
That was a more dramatic time gap. Yeah.
I would have experiences that would really mess with me, and it would make me cry, because I would be, like, just, say, sitting in a room, and then someone would tell me that I just walked up and I did something, and like, there was this one instance where I threw a shirt at someone. I got up and I threw a shirt, and I, you know, walked across the room and grabbed it or something like that, and all I remember is just sitting there.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess dramatic experiences, and it might be just conclusive to the health issues, was when I was in eighth grade. All I remember is I just woke up, or I went to bed. I was reading Calvin and Hobbes comic books, and I just fell asleep in my bed, and then I woke up in ICU, and apparently I was labeled dead 3 times that night, and I was in a state of shock of while I was in the hospital, to where I only weighed like 80 pounds, and I was throwing people, and it took like 10 people to hold me down, and they don't know what caused the whole state.
Really?
That whole experience.
But that's what they call a near-death experience, as you said.
But I didn't see a light or anything. I don't remember seeing anything. All I remember is just going to sleep, and I woke up in intensive care unit.
All right, so you have a legacy of some very powerful consciousness experiences
in
your history.
I have a legacy of very, very powerful, paranormal, so to speak, spiritual, even demonic, angelic. I got tons of stories.
if I asked you to imagine what might have happened during the missing time incident where you were driving with Tommy and found yourselves in Washington an hour and a half north, if I asked you to imagine what might have possibly happened during that missing time, what would you say? What happened? What do you think might have happened?
I have no idea, and I would like to know myself. I've been trying to meditate on it and everything, and me and Tommy both haven't been able to figure it out. You know, it's just, it baffles us, because we both know, technically what happened, and that we were somehow transported from 84, you know, 20 minutes deep into 84, and possibly, you know, ended up an hour and a half deep into Washington, way ahead of any sort of 205 merge on the I-5. You know, it's just, you had to drive across the whole highway, you know, for like 20 miles to get to I-5. From how it could have possibly happened, and it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And we just, yeah, I, I wish I could tell you, man. I have no idea what happened on that experience right there.
Now, you know that we specialize on the Secret Message Report. We specialize on detecting unconscious communications when we reverse people's audio recordings. So, would you give me your permission to study the audio from your interview today to try to detect more material? Okay, well, that's great. I'm going to be listening to that. Now, you tell me, after the missing time, you and Tommy got turned around and you guys made it to the ranch. Tell me more about once you got to the ranch. What started happening there for you?
Well, I just felt the energy and just felt really good. I felt like I made it to the to the end of the pilgrimage, you know, in a sense, and just was relaxing. I ended up meeting you, and I was really excited to hear the lectures and see some UFOs. That's what I was expecting. And then people are starting to tell me, like, fairies are around and this and that. And I'm like, what? Come on. and disregard or whatever. But anyway, the next day, saw the couple lectures, and I was smoking a cigarette, and out of nowhere, huge compulsion, just something telling me, like demanding to me that I go and take a walk by myself. Like, okay, so I throw my cigarette out, and I start walking throughout the field, and it was like twilight. And I find that group of trees that I showed you, John, actually. I guess I'll just describe it for the interview, though, for the listeners. It was this group of trees with a large, really large boulders in a circle in the middle of the trees. And on top of the large boulders, which were a bunch of little stacked tower boulders, or not boulders, little rocks.
Yep.
Anyway, so I'd come across this area, and I'm like, wow, this is cool, you know? It's like, I've never seen anything like this. This is really neat. So I sit in the patch of grass in the middle of that, and I'm just feeling really good. You know, it's just beautiful. It's good to be out of town, you know, all of that, and just connecting with the wind and the nature, just like I always do, you know. I'm from Alaska. So anyway, now, before I continue, I want to remind everybody that I just started meditating maybe a week and a half before the conference, maybe for 5 minutes every couple days, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I haven't become a master of any sort of chi energy, I feel, when it comes to, amount of training, significant amount of training or anything like that. Anyway, so I sit in the middle of the grass and I was feeling connected, yada, yada, and I just close my eyes and I hold out my hands, and then I go, love, I am you, Mother Earth, I am you, universe, I am you, almighty artist, divine intelligence, I am you. And while I was saying that, out of, like, all of these footsteps and all of these noises I've never heard before were all around me and stuff, was, like, touching me. And for some reason, I felt, obviously, just extremely comfortable about it, though. And I was thinking to myself, oh, this is good. I think I'm getting some communication here. So I continue to go on. And then I say, benevolent entities, I am you. Once I said that, my fingers started tingling, and there was this bird that squawked right in front of me, and he was sitting on one of the little stacks of rocks. He was right in front of me, and it kind of surprised me, so I opened my eyes, and I was like, hey, buddy. And then he squawks again, and then he flies off. And as soon as he flew off, I was impounded just completely with, I guess, energy. I was looking at my skin. All of my skin throughout my body was rippling, like you drop a rock into a lake or something, or a pond or something like that. And it was just all rippling. I felt like it was 2,000 pounds, and I was hearing these voices audibly being, we are here and we love you. We are here and we love you. We are here and we love you. And I just kept saying that, and so comfortably and strong, and I was just like, thank you, thank you. And I wasn't breathing heavily like someone would out of a panic attack, or just out of like, oh my God, I've never experienced anything before. It was a very calm, like, wow, dude. It was the most physical intoxication I've ever received. And, you know, yes, I will admit that I've had the share of drugs, you know, grew out of that. But anyway, I've never received anything that physically intoxicating. So anyway, I felt like I was 2,000 pounds, and I'm hearing all of these footsteps and noises and voices telling me, we are here and we love you. And because I felt so heavy, I was thinking to myself, I need to let go, I need to let go, I want to keep receiving all of this, you know. But I realized I was just told, because I was imagining it. I didn't see him, you know, physically, but I just felt these beings all around me just pointing at me and just has given me this activation in a sense. Yep. And anyway, so once I acknowledge to myself that I'm, you know, I don't need to let go. I'm receiving everything. I'm already open. And then once I acknowledge that to myself, I started levitating off the ground, and I was a couple inches off the ground, and I was just like, you know, I was kind of freaking out, you know. So because I was acknowledging that I was lifting off the ground, it's like, oh my God, and it's because I guess it kind of freaked me out. That's why I fell back down. And so I fell back down, and then I just laid my back, and I was there for at least 30 minutes. I don't know. I lost track of time throughout that experience, but I was there for a while, and just all of these noises and just voices and just goodness and my skin rippling like no other. And then I leaned back up from laying down. I'm sitting on the bottom again, and I formed that ball of energy. And I was just like, yes, man, I knew it. I knew it. And I was just playing with the ball of energy and giggling and just in this just other realm. It was like I was a little tiny child again.
Yep, yep.
And I walked out of there just tingling like no other. They were just looking at me like, what happened to that kid? But anyway, so then no one knew, and I told you about the experience the next day, and then I kept forming the balls of energy. So that's the story that led me to the ranch, in a sense. So, like, on all the other experiences of the ranch, I'm going to just leave it to you on asking me more questions, because that's the story of me talking to my extraterrestrials like I knew I would, and all of that other stuff, you know.
So that was one of the most profound experiences you had at the ranch. As you said, you were it was in the Field of Dreams. It was a secluded area, and it was sort of like a little bowl or caldera of volcanic rock,
yeah.
You know, as a meditation space,
yeah.
And other people were using that. You brought me over there. I hadn't actually seen it before, and I had been up there many times, and so we sat there for a while and explored. But I remember you telling the stories of your encounter there, and as you say, that was a real, you feel that was a real breakthrough experience, that what happened there.
It was. I call it my activation.
Okay.
Experience.
Wow. That's very powerful.
That's what I call it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It sounds like a very classic experience, as you said, because there were these mystical phenomena. Not only were you having the auditory sensations, like your inner hearing, you were hearing voices, these different kinds of perceptions,
yeah.
But you even felt that
it was outer hearing, though, too, as well, John.
Like, you really felt it was
all
physical.
The footsteps, everything, yeah. It was
And the levitation. But also the
levitation.
Very, very physical.
So it was a big
message for you. I mean, it was really a real flashing light saying to you, you know, like, you know, this is a really powerful moment. You know, you're really making a connection with spirit like that.
Yep.
A powerful integrated experience.
What I got from that was exactly in a sense that, yes, we are here and we love you. You know, we are those benevolent entities. And they were telling me, in a sense, that I am one as well, and everything that I was told by God and that divine entity or that divine intelligence and source of love, every all of my experiences were not me being crazy. They were all very real, because like with that ball of energy, they were just telling me, like, you know, this is your weapon. You know, of love. This is your weapon of healing. You know, this is who you are, and this is what you can do. And now you fully know. You know, it was, like I said, it was just me being activated completely.
Mm-hmm. All
right. I walked out of there just, not in the egotistic sense, but like, you know, just, I'm ready for anything. Absolutely anything, with no fear in my heart or mind whatsoever. And you know that too, John, because we experienced, you know, how we just walked into the darkness the way we did and stuff like that, you know.
I don't know if we should call it, is that reckless or bravery? Or, it was like I say, was that recklessness or sheer bravery? I don't know, but it was an amazing experience. So
I don't think it was recklessness, obviously, because what we got out of it, obviously, you know, and what we saw. So.
let me ask you some questions about some of the things that were shown, that the camera captured while we were there. You were beside me on a number of the shoots when I had the camera rolling, and you know, you were witness with me to a number of the things that the camera captured. One of the things the camera shows is that the different objects that were flying by, and we know the ISS was appearing from time to time as well. But,
yep, yep, they came right on schedule too.
But the other objects that were unmarked on the satellite tracking systems that were available in the field while we were looking in the sky in real time, we were matching objects with known objects, and there were lots of unknown objects. Some of those objects appeared to change color in flight, at least on the camera. And I wanted to know, do you recall that you saw the objects flying overhead, the UFOs? Did they change color to your naked eye? Could you see them changing colors?
Oh yeah, definitely to my naked eye. There was obviously, you know, we had, there's more that I saw change colors, or I guess the count of, or the amount of how many I saw change colors were on your, you know, on your computer, on your camera, it was more. But yeah, to my naked eye, there was at least 5 or 6 times.
Because sometimes
probably a whole lot more.
I think
you're listening to the Secret Message Report, and today's guest is Talon Cooey, who attended the eSETI 2010 Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. He's talking about some of the amazing experiences that he had preceding the event and during that amazing July 4th weekend. We'll be right back after this break. Listening to the Secret Message Report and our interview with Talon Cooey, who attended the eSETI 2010 Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. He's talking about some of the amazing things that happened over the July 4th weekend. And now back to the interview.
The other witnesses who were there, and some other people had cameras. I mean, there are, James was commenting on color-changing UFOs. There were quite a few people talking about it, and sometimes when we look at the image on the camera, we have to wonder, is it a trick of the light? Is the camera doing funny things? But I think it's kind of one of the most striking parts of the recording experience that I had there this summer was just that the color changing was profound and very pronounced. So that's
right.
Good. That's good to reconnect with you on that
point. I got to include too the UFOs that I was watching out in the Oregon Country Fair with my friends, and because it was a breakthrough for them too. Because I was telling them, I was like, everybody, send them love. Mm. They hear your thoughts. Send them love, and we all would be like, hello, we're here, we love you. And they would come right out. And a lot of them would be flying north and south, I guess, which is over the poles. So that wouldn't be a satellite, at least. But anyway, there was at least 5 or 6 over the weekend after the conference while I went to the country fair that where they were changing colors.
That was in Eugene? That was the country fair was in...
Okay, yeah,
That's
why it was such a breakthrough for a lot of people that were seeing it for the first time. They were like, oh, my God, you know?
I think that the red light, the stories you were telling earlier about the Oregon coast, the red light over the ocean, Columbus in the red light, the color red played prominently in the eSETI UFOs, certainly on the videos. So really very much food for thought, like, you know, it's almost as if they've always been here or they were here long before us, that there's something very symbolic in those colors. It's affecting us. Our unconscious minds are resonating with those colors as well. Anyway, so
absolutely, I believe that
a lot of food for thought. I mean, there were a lot of nighttime sightings. Sometimes we would see lights flying over at dusk. I remember on the Thursday night, there were some, you know, some minor brief sightings. Did you, I think the meditation experience you told us, the story you were telling about sitting in the little bowl there, the meditation bowl, was during the day. Is that right?
Yeah, it was at twilight, and the whole meditating experience, I mean, me technically meditating was for about 10 seconds until they activated me, and I was getting that those ripples all in my skin and feeling 2,000 pounds. The rest of the experience was with my eyes open, just laying there, and, you know, not even breathing heavily, just lying there, receiving all that I was there to receive. So I don't even know if that was technically a meditating experience, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know,
well, that ties into some of the other things that happened, because you and I, we pulled long nights on the field. We stayed up until dawn several nights together. And one of the things that was happening when we were out there, you know, about 3 or 4 in the morning, as I recall, we started to have, you know, eyes open visions in the field. And that sort of seems to tie into what you're saying, that you had your eyes open. The phenomena was happening all around you. I mean, the field of dreams at East City Ranch seemed like a very lively place. And I mean, I was surprised. I'd heard a lot of stories, but I felt that I really saw for the first time. And not only was I seeing some different kinds of visions, but it seemed as if we were seeing the same things together.
We definitely were seeing the same thing together, 100%. For instance, you know, I mean, it's just crazy how it's like almost pitch dark out there, but it's just technicolors all over the place, you know, and just complete technicolors off the field, off the grass, off all the trees and everything. And then, we both saw that feline figure come up towards us, and then that's what caused us. We're just like, oh, there's activities in the field. Let's just go. And we didn't even think twice. Just walked into that field, and then we were just, you know, seeing what we were seeing, those rainbow flashes and stuff like that. And then, like I said, there's just those technicolors. That was, well, at least the first night that we stayed up all night, and they were just beaming off the mountain, and then the trees, and then, like, and then we saw that DNA-looking energy, like, I guess, vortex or something coming out of the mountain, and it had the same technicolors as everything else, but it was just more defined, like, shape and everything, you know, like, detailed, cut, you know, sharp. So, you know, on the edges and everything.
So one of the things you're describing that happened that we both saw together, we saw like a spirit animal coming towards us from out of the field, and it looked like sort of like a mountain lion, but it was to me the proportions were kind of funny. It's almost like it had the head was a little too small and something like that, but it was definitely there.
The way it came up towards us though was like it was on its four legs, on its four paws or whatever, but the way when it appeared itself to us and it was coming towards us was like it was getting up on both of its hind legs and walking, you know, towards us.
And I think
that's what it seemed like.
And I think that one of the other perceptions that I had early, even on the Thursday night, just going out in the field, was in the corner of my eye. I remember seeing the, you know, like sort of like the wisps or the shadows of other people. In hindsight, I thought to myself, well, maybe it's the minds of the attendees. There were going to be hundreds of people there that weekend. Maybe their minds were projecting forwards. But I think part of my recollection is that when you and I were walking the field late into the night or in the early morning, that we also had a sense that there were like the spirits of other people there with us.
Yeah, no, I definitely had a very, very strong sense of spirits walking with us, and it was tangible. You know, it just seemed extremely tangible, and it was so tangible that that fear was starting to just surface up, and I had to eliminate it. You know, I wanted to look back and see how far deep we walked in, before, you know, in case I had to run back or something.
Yeah.
But it was definitely that tangible, you know, and
it was
especially for a sober experience. It was amazing.
So
the most profound experience of you know that whole weekend was, people take their hallucinogenics for you know spiritual purposes like Indians and stuff like that. But I mean, what we all saw sober. That was awesome. You know, I've never experienced a weekend like that in my life.
So as you said, some of the experiences you felt, it was challenging at certain points on the journey into those long nights. It was challenging for you, as you said.
Absolutely.
Fears came up. You were encountering different strong emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I had to break through them. I had to throw them out and eliminate them and just break through. And it, every single time, it was we got something, you know. Like throughout that experience, when I was feeling that fear, and we both, you know, you probably had it in you too, and we just broke through it. And then that's, and then what we got out of that experience from breaking through and just kept going and going and going is we saw that DNA vortex come out of the mountain, you know?
Well, so this is the next part of it. It was that it's as if, you know, that we were interacting with the vortex of the portal, the gateway, the Stargate at that location at the Isseti Ranch.
Yeah.
We were actually, absolutely. It's as if the vortex was talking to us through these symbolic images. Not only, of course, yep. through the spirit voices and all those other phenomena, but as you said, my recollection is that I saw what looked like tornado shapes made out of different colored ribbons, and it was, you know, the colors were very fluorescent. I mean, they were brilliant colors, and it was just like the vortex was saying to us, "This is a vortex. Do you get it, guys? I mean, the spirals here are telling you that this is a special place." And I think one of the other profound sensations I had was that we were receiving something. It was giving something to us. That's why I was emphatic. When I felt that the visionary phenomena were kicking in, I said, we gotta go walk into it. You know, we can't run away from it. We can't objectify this. We have to.
I was just about to say that. We were both audibly, like, it was just flowing out of both of our mouths of what was happening. It was like, you know, we were telling each other, but it was like both at the same time, it was something telling us, you know, because we had to audibly hear it out of both of our voices. And we were describing exactly what was happening, and that was exactly what you're just describing, that we were walking into a vortex, we see it, we see these and right next to us, we see that, and this is what's happening. We were walking into the eye, we were walking into the vortex, and while we were saying that, that's, you know, we were just receiving, exactly.
The eye of the storm, so to speak.
Right, yeah, and when we were saying that audibly, that's when, like, you know, that fear was coming up, surfacing up. I was like, what is happening, man? Because I'm saying these things, and you're saying these things, and then I guess, you know, my other side of the brain, or, you know what I mean, was just saying, like, what are you doing, man? This is crazy. You're like, you know, you're going to die. Or, like, what, you know, like, why aren't you scared? Or, you know what I mean? It was like something battling me at the same time. And I was, and then, like I said, I had to eliminate that and trust in what was being said and trust what I was seeing and trust my tangible feelings. And doing that, we both did that. And doing that, we walked into something, and we ended up, like I said, it was like, you know, there's that DNA vortex too, what we saw. Now, one thing that you're leaving out and I'm leaving out, actually, is that I gotta say it, is that cloud that was right next to the mountain. Before we saw the feline figure, this group of clouds combined, and there's that one that was saucer-shaped, and it was darker colored than all the other clouds, and it just sat next to the mountain. And I kept mentioning it because it was a texture of a cloud. We were like, yeah, it's just cloud. But I just kept mentioning it because I was like, John, the cloud's been sitting there for a long time, man. It's been like a while. You know, because all the other clouds are passing by. And what I'm saying is that cloud that was the exact shape of a saucer sitting next to the mountain was right there before we walked in the field throughout the whole process. And then when we were seeing the DNA vortex, the cloud, saucer-shaped cloud, kept changing formation, but no matter what, it was in a different shape of a saucer. And then after we were just standing there, just watching what we were watching, my attention just kept, like, kind of going back to the cloud, even though I was being open and receiving everything else. And then that's when you were like, yeah, we better, let's go get the camera on this thing. And then we walked back, and we got the camera on, and it was giving us a perfect smiley face. And then I even got my camera on, and then it kept changing formation again as a saucer, and then just kind of, it looked like it kind of evaporated, but I think it left.
Well, I remember that you were remarking about this cloud and its persistence while the wind was blowing everything else. This cloud was appeared to be stationary and rotating and so on, and I did capture some of that. I do have some of that on video, and as you said, you did have your camera as well, and I haven't asked you, did you get any other remarkable footage on your camera? Because I know you were recording while you were there this weekend.
I was videotaping when we were all standing in that circle holding hands, and that we were holding on to that that electric beam thing, right, or connected to that.
Yep.
The reason why I was videotaping, because what I was expecting is that this giant bolt, the lightning bolt, was going to come up and up into the sky or something like that. But I was looking through it, and all you see is pitch darkness, because that's just all that the camera picks up. But we were out there in the field, and I know that's what it was, because those are the only two times I recorded, was during that experience that we were holding hands, and then the experience of the cloud. And I did catch, like, a couple of times these rainbow flashes just traveling around and along the camera.
Really?
And then you see people's flashlights and stuff, so you can tell the difference between flashlights, but there are these rainbow-colored, like, lights just floating across the view of the camera.
Do you have any way of sending those over to me in an email so I can have a look at what you got?
Yeah. Well, I can try. I've got to figure out or get on it, as in, because I don't know that process. I might just mail you the tape.
I'd love to have a look at what you got, but we can talk some more about that. So let's go back to a couple of other points, some of the incidents we had. I remember during the daytime, one of the days, we were studying some of the daylight objects using the sunblock shooting method. Do you remember we were next to the tower?
Yep.
And we saw those white or very highly reflective objects in the sky. Some were very close to the camera, of course, or at least to the building we were shooting against. What we were doing was using a method that was popularized by a fellow named John Brough, who was a camera operator in Hollywood. And he found that by obscuring the sun using a building, anything in the sky that was you couldn't normally see, would pop out in the viewfinder. You'd suddenly be able to see these objects reflecting the sun's light. So some of the objects are very close, and so we've got, you know, we have seeds and pollen, insects, birds, but a number of these highly reflective objects seem to be more at the altitude of the clouds. We saw them traveling very slowly in the background. I think that footage was important when we talk about the nighttime orbs that people see in their Gen 3 night vision at the ranches, lots of orb photography. I think that the daylight objects seem to say there's stuff flying over the ranch constantly. That's something, I certainly want to take a closer look at. But you and I had another experience, which was towards the very end of the conference, we started picking up on these light phenomena on the edge of the field down by the Little Mountain Highway where the stream is.
Yeah.
And we spent a whole bunch of time down there. Tell me what you saw there.
Well, actually, you know what? It was the night before that. I gotta mention though too, because you weren't with us, but we were out there, me, Tommy, and stuff like that. And oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. What was her name? Sarah.
Sarah.
I don't. Yeah, Shelly. It was Shelly.
Shelly. Okay. All right.
I can't believe I just. Anyway, so Shelly was out there and all that, and kept seeing those same flashes out in the woods. They're the rainbow flashes, and honestly, what I got on film is looks exactly like those, but they were just flying consistently without really flashing that much. But anyway, I was seeing those flashes, and then I was seeing a bunch of little red dots just flying and floating all around in the woods. And then Carrie walked up with me, and we were both seeing it, and like really intensely, and we were like, okay, let's go walk into the woods. And then we're walking down the little dirt path right next to the oregano garden to get to the road to go into the woods. And we both had to stop because we were seeing this apparition of a humanistic kind of figure, like a ghost, walking right to us, and it stood right in front of us. And it was like, we were just like, whoa, do you see this guy coming up to us right now? And then we were both like, yep, he's standing right in front of us. And then we look, and then we see through the apparition, or the ghost, I guess, is, so to speak, those two, like the two same red little orbs things, lights, whatever. And there were two, and they were right next to each other, and they were sitting on the, or floating or whatever, on the little dirt road path. And we both saw them at the same time, and we didn't even say anything. We just started chasing them, and we were running after them, and I was tearing up. And I was like, and it was like the both of the dots were like, oh, crap. And they just started booking it, and we were chasing them, dude. Like, we were on their tail. And I was yelling out, stop, I want to see. I was like, stop, I want to say hello. And they booked it into the woods, and then they kept peeking up from behind the trees like they were looking at us and stuff. So that was cool. Then the next day, yeah, you were with me at the same spot, And I went and grabbed you because I was with me and those two girls, and we were just watching those flashes, those rainbow flashes, just go nuts, like, in the woods. Like, it was a light show. And then they were starting to cry because it was their first night out there, and they were just like, oh, my God, that's so beautiful. And then, yeah, then you came out, and we got it. Is that going well with what you were asking or what you were saying?
Yeah. Well, I wanted you to talk about because it was remarkable to me. I mean, East City Ranch, you know, UFOs, spirit entities, or orbs of light, like little mini UFOs flying right above ground level. All of this, there's such a variety, like an encyclopedia of, you know, spiritual or supernatural phenomena in one place. I mean, it was just amazing to be with you and the others so close to these events, and we were trying to, I mean, I was trying to capture some of that on the camera, and I did catch some of that. One of the other guests, Juana Paul, was there with us on one of the last nights, and there were three of us with the camera. That's when you ran and got me and brought me up there. And we were taking turns going down to the road to inspect the site where we saw the lights coming from to see if we could determine the source of the lights. And every time we sent someone down there, not every time, but certainly some of the times it seemed as if, like when Juana and I were down there, the lights flashed right over our heads and we could see the trees lighting up from it. We knew that there was something going on, and the camera captured, while you were standing, you were at the camera caught a UFO flying over and shooting like these bolts of arcs of lightning out of its sides, and I wondered to myself, was that what was lighting up the trees while we were down there? So it was so immersive. We were so close to the phenomenon. It wasn't like observing something from a mile away or 13 miles away, like a light on the mountain or a UFO above the ridge.
No, it was so intimately close. Yeah, definitely.
It was very personal, as you said, personal intimacy, you know, personal contact like that. It was a profound sense of personal contact. It was overwhelming. I cried when I got home to Vancouver because it was such a beautiful experience, not only with just the different people and personalities who came for that event, but our interactions with the natural environment and the other intelligences that came to be with us and to teach us through experience, you know, to teach us visually and psychically, it was just a very profound. I think that was one of for me, and again, I had been up to the ranch many times in the past. That was probably the most powerful of all the experiences. When you look back now and you think, well, you know, I've been to this place now, and I think one of the things you were mentioning was that the county fair in Eugene, you had that was like a week after the conference. You had a mass sighting there. And as you said, there was high energy. You really felt that you were flowing. This powerful energies were flowing through you during that time. Do you see that this is? Do you see that basically moving forwards? Experiences surrounding contact and spiritual development, these things are going to be accelerating for you, or it's more amplified now?
Tremendously, John. I gotta say though, first, like throughout that 5 days at the conference, it was like I lived 5,000 years, and that's not even necessarily the lectures; it was the experiences. And I have at least 200 stories of paranormal, awesome, crazy experiences, but like I can't even count how many times intimately I experienced supernatural or super paranormal, whatever, you know, out at that vortex. And yes, I did walk out of there, and we were both in the same car, and I just couldn't stop crying because it was like an activation. And I was leaving there not crying, being like, I'm going to miss it and I want to go back to have those experiences again. I was crying because I knew, you know, very strongly that it was just only going to accelerate. And I got back home and, some of my friends that just come to see me and all that, about some of the experiences, and tell them how I can make these energy balls on command. And one of my very, very skeptical friends, I'll see when I believe it. And so I did it on the spot, and I held it out for him. He started crying, you know. And so I just knew. And then consistently, the dreams I've been having have been so intense. It's not even funny. I feel like I've been leaving this planet, to be honest with you. That country fair experience, I've played music you know, passionately and professionally for years. And every one of my shows, that's why I play, is to make people feel alive. You know, there's science to it with those frequencies and stuff like that. And I've been through some very, very spiritually powerful performances. But the one that we had at the country fair was straight up just like sorcery, in a sense. And it was probably the most profound spiritual experience of my life. And it was more profound me talking to the ETs. And so what happened, in a sense, was that I just, I wasn't feeling too well. And it was pouring water over the hose, and I was just wondering why I wasn't feeling too well and all that, because I had to play that show. And the band already started. And with, like, Frank Cassandra Lee, and I'm just praying. I was like, God, oh, yeah, just get me feeling better. I don't know, you know, like, maybe this is my shaman body leading me to make certain decisions. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, and then I looked up to the sky, and it actually wasn't in the sky, because there's this ship, UFO, flying right over us, me and Cassandra Lee. There's a big, bright bluish-white ship, and it was probably only a couple hundred feet above us, to be honest with you. And it's like when I saw that, I was told, like, all right, I'm being looked out for, you know. I'm being protected. Let's just go play this music. So the band already started, and I got on stage, long story short. And I'm going to tell you, know, like, I'm going to do the best I can to describe this experience over via phone and interview without using physical, images and stuff like that. But, and also, I mean, just no words can describe what happened. And I got plenty of witnesses throughout all of it, by at least 160. Anyway, we were just playing. And the band that I was playing with, they're family of mine. It's called NAYA. It's an acronym for Now Is All You Have. And we were just moving. And like I said, since I walked out of the ranch, my body is so sensitive to quantum energy. It's not even funny. I put my hands to my side, and my hands float up and down like they're flowing with the motion of my aura, I guess, so to speak, or the chakras and all that. I put my hand over someone, and it just tends to float by itself and move by itself. I mean, all of that. And so what was happening was we were just playing, and my body was vibrating. I was getting the ripples again, and I was just moving, and I had my eyes closed, and I felt like I was breaking apart, like my bones and everything was breaking apart, and just becoming, like, you know, no longer heavy. And this is the thing, I mean, my back has been jacked up from playing, or not playing, from the car wreck. My body hasn't been in the best shape for reasons I don't know why, but, like, I was breaking through. I literally felt and was seeing my DNA just break apart and change and reconstruct. And I stopped playing my drum, and I lift up my hands, and my hands are moving back and forth on this motion, like, uncontrollably, you know, like, involuntarily, I guess, from the frequencies. The frequencies were moving them, and it was getting so intense that the crowd was looking around and shaking, and it seemed like they had this sense of fear, because they were feeling all of these frequencies. They were feeling the other presences that were around. And while I was playing, I mean, I felt tangibly Buddha, Eshwa, extraterrestrial entities. I mean, there was so much else existing at that spot. It wasn't even funny. Also providing their quantum frequencies and everything. Anyway, so I got up off the drum, and everybody in the crowd is looking at me with these eyes of, like, in a sense, like, some of it was fear, some of it was just like, what in the hell is going on, you know, like, because their physical bodies were feeling it as well. And I had my hands up, and they're moving back and forth to the energy, and it was like I was, you know, being the tool, like the gateway, like moving the whole band and like the crowd's just energy. And everybody was saying that they saw all of this energy moving all around me in all sorts of colors. And so I forgot. So yeah, like I said, they were looking at me with these fears of or a sense of, like, what is going on? And it was like I was looking at them all at once, and I said out very loud, I was like, you're all alive. I was like, what this is? I was like, you're all alive. And then I was just like, I was like, keep going, keep going. And then when I said that, they were like, oh, God, okay, thank you. And then they just kept moving, and they just kept going, and they kept pushing out their frequencies completely. And I, you know, I was just like, you guys are alive, keep going. Anyway, so the jam went on, and just the notes, the tones, the way we were all playing, the way I was playing my drum, I was pulling out stuff that was alien. It was beyond a machine. It, like, all everybody in the band were looking at me, and we're all looking at each other like, oh, man, like, shaking, like, oh, my God, like we're in a vessel or something about to just take, like, blast off or go through a portal or something, but we're all looking at each other like, what is this? But we just kept doing it because I don't know if they just all trusted this physical feeling and spiritual experience, but I made sure that I was there looking at everybody in the eyes, the whole crowd and everybody, giving them the assurance, like, yes, keep going. This is good. This is good. This is life. This is good. And so it gave them that comfort, you know. I know I did at least took a big part on helping out with that process because there were other existences there as well, probably doing the same job. But anyway, giving them comfort, I just kept going, and we broke. Like, I don't know what happened, but there was some sort of massive quantum explosion of love and life just given to this world or something. But what I felt we did was that we made history when it comes to, at least in my life history, when it comes to a quantum frequency, physical and spiritual level, a breakthrough, like explosion, you know, of like mysticism in a sense, you know, sorcery. And it just was, I can't describe it in words. I can't, you know, the people that were all there, you look at them in their eyes, and we'll all nod like, yes, you know, like we all felt that, you know.
Well,
but the words cannot describe it. So anyway, after the jam, or after we just stopped, people were losing their minds, and everybody was just crying and jumping up and down and just like, I mean, you know, that's what happens at normal concerts and stuff like that. But trust me, it was a much more intense and different experience. And like I said, people were just crying, tears of joy. And I yelled out very strongly, and everybody went dead silent. And what I remember saying is I was shaking, and I was crying as well. And I was like, you all felt that. And I go, everybody made that happen. We are all one organism. We are all connected. And I said, I was like, no military power can overcome this right here. And then everybody was continuing to cry. And I was like, and I just said, I was like, this is it. I was like, everybody eliminate all your fears because we are good. This is it. You felt it. This is it. And everybody just like 150 people at least just ran in and gave me a huge hug. And, I had to immediately go take the biggest, just dump of my life, like immediately after all of that. And what I was getting from that was that it was because I was filtering all of these negative frequencies and energy and giving them back out. And I was conducting in a sense. I was, you know, being that, you know, the mover of the energy, you know. Huh. And you know, there's tons of stories and whatnot where people do healings or, you know what I mean, they experience spiritually profound stuff and they got to, you know, the toxins of all of it, you know, come into your body and just need to be filtered out, you know. So
sure,
that's
sure.
What happened as well. And that's what I got from it, is that it was because it was a healing, you know, conductive metaphysical frequency explosion of love and that life energy given out, you know, from all of our bodies in a sense. But yeah, I know I also forgot to mention I'm 100% positive, and I won't say for sure, you know, but I am almost 100% positive that my hand broke from playing the hand drum or the box, the wood box, that it broke, and because it hurt uncontrollably, and I saw my kind of bones sticking up and out, and I had to hold my hand up, and it was moving back and forth to the frequencies, and I just like pretty much demanded it for it to be healed, and it did, and I kept playing, and yeah. So that was intense. And then afterwards, everybody kept seeing UFOs and all that flying all over us, and everybody did. You know, it was cool.
I'm hearing you. It's an amazing story. So as you said, I mean, with the bliss, there was sort of a crisis that accompanied it. As you said, there was like a detoxifying crisis as part of the bliss experience, and that's part of the lore from many experiences around the world. I mean, this is it's like you're really what I'm hearing you say is that you're having these really authentic experiences. It's very powerful. You know, we're just about out of time, and
I do got to say real quick though, just exactly with what you were saying. Is that, yeah, because everybody was feeling it all at once, and it could have gone bad. It could have gone really bad, like a bad trip or something like that. But, you know, through the assurance of, like, no, you are alive. You are alive. This is what you're feeling. And then so, therefore, it continued because everybody had their fear and flowed with it. It became that explosion of beauty, you know.
You're talking
so
about,
go ahead.
Like you're saying, there was an overcoming. There was a sort of a moment of crisis, and the group overcame. People chose
Absolutely.
Love. People chose higher consciousness, like that. So when reflecting on your stories about going to ESETI, it sounds like, you know, accelerated evolution, spiritual evolution, enhanced creativity, enhanced insight.
Absolutely.
All these things are part of your story, and I think that's amazing because it tells me that there's more to come. You're going to have more stories, and I want to have you back.
Oh, it's only just begun. Oh yeah, especially with what we did with the band and the music wise.
Oh,
that's only just begun. It's going to happen with thousands of people, and it's going to be just yeah.
But you and I, I'd like for you and I to keep our discussion going over the months and the years, because I think you're going to be one of the people who's going to have a lot of profound breakthroughs, and we're going to learn from your storytelling. So I hope that you'll come back and spend more time with me on the show and sharing your experiences.
Cool.
And I also want to get some of those tapes from you. So let's talk some more about that. Talon Cooey, very talented musician, amazing experiences at the ESETI Ranch at the 2010 ESETI Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. This is the Secret Message Report. I'm John Kelly. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back.